Today is Thursday, March 20th, and this is the World Socialist Website. Trump's Operation Dictatorship by Joseph Kishore. 2 months into the Trump administration, there is no longer any question that it is breaking completely with all legality. The capitalist media itself is now acknowledging that what is happening in the United States is an attempt to overthrow constitutional rule and establish a presidential dictatorship. What has brought matters to a head is Trump's open defiance of a federal court order that required it to halt deportations following the invocation of the Alien Enemies Act on Saturday. In response to the ruling by Washington, D.C. District Court Judge James Boasberg, White House officials and Trump himself have threatened to have Boasberg impeached. The response from the fascist right has included rabid denunciations by Trump of quote-unquote lunatic left judges, demands for impeachment voiced by Trump and Republicans in Congress, and tacit threats of violence. A Financial Times columnist noted Wednesday the, quote, recent spate of anonymous pizza deliveries to the private homes of dissenting judges, a move straight from a mafia film. We know where you live, is the implied message for the justice. This takes place under conditions in which individuals, including Mahmoud Khalil, are being seized for their political views. Yesterday, federal agents sought to detain Cornell University student Mamadou Tal after he filed a lawsuit against Trump challenging his executive orders. On Monday, masked federal agents seized Georgetown University researcher Badar Khan Suri outside his home Monday night, employing the same fraudulent grounds used to kidnap Khalil. The presidency has become a cockpit and planning center of a dictatorship. There is no historic precedent for such actions by an American president. Or rather, the only precedent is the final weeks of Trump's first term, when he sought to overthrow the election in a fascistic coup. What Trump failed to complete on January 6, 2021, he is now doing. On Wednesday, the New York Times published an extraordinary article under the headline, Defiance and Threats in Deportation Case, Renew Fear of Constitutional Crisis, citing the comments of a number of law professors on the significance of Trump's actions. Jamal Green, a law professor at Columbia University, is quoted as stating, quote, if anyone is being detained or removed based on the administration's assertion that it can do so without judicial review or due process, the president is asserting dictatorial power, and constitutional crisis doesn't capture the gravity of the situation, unquote. Stanford law professor Pamela Carlin warned, quote, the problem with this administration is not just acute episodes, like what's happening with Judge Boasberg in the Venezuelan deportation. It's a chronic disrespect for constitutional norms and for the other branches of government. Carlin added, quote, tipping point suggests a world in which things are fine until suddenly they're not. But we're past the first point already, end quote. Carlin is right that the tipping point is an inappropriate metaphor. One is dealing more with the complete collapse of democratic rights. But the Trump administration is not merely acting with disrespect for constitutional norms. It is a willful criminal conspiracy to destroy them. The Times adds its own commentary, stating that, quote, the right question is not whether there is a crisis, but rather how much damage it will cause, unquote. Well, that answer can be given. The logic of Trump's actions means the illegalization of opposition. Workers will be deprived of their rights. Those who oppose the policies of the White House will be subject to persecution, arrest, or worse. Neither in the Times nor in the media as a whole is there any serious analysis of how the United States got to this point. The media and political establishment present Trump's actions as if they have suddenly erupted out of nowhere, the product of an individual's delusions or malice. This is false. It is more than a quarter century since the theft of the 2000 elections, during which the Supreme Court intervened to halt the counting of ballots and hand the presidency to George W. Bush. In advance of the court ruling, the World Socialist website wrote that the decision would reveal, quote, how far the American ruling class is prepared to go in breaking with traditional bourgeois democratic and constitutional norms, unquote. The Supreme Court's decision in Bush v. Gore, in the absence of resistance from the Democratic Party, established that there was no significant constituency within the corporate and political establishment for the defense of democratic rights. Within a year of the stolen 2000 election, the Bush administration used the 9/11 attacks as a pretext to launch the War on Terror, a permanent state of war abroad, coupled with the shredding of democratic rights at home and the establishment of a global network of torture camps centered on Guantanamo Bay. These dictatorial measures were deepened under Obama, who claimed the power to assassinate U.S. citizens without trial. Trump's first term brought the crisis of American democracy to a new stage, culminating in the January 6, 2021 fascistic coup attempt aimed at overturning his election defeat. The 4 years of the Biden administration were marked by a massive escalation of imperialist violence, including the U.S. NATO war against Russia and the genocide in Gaza, a colossal crime that Trump is now exploiting to justify his crackdown on domestic opposition. Trump's moves toward dictatorship represent the transformation of quantity into quality. What is involved is not merely a threat or tendency, but the implementation of a definite conspiracy at the highest levels of the state to establish a dictatorship. Two interconnected processes underlie the breakdown of democratic forms of rule. First, the massive concentration of wealth in the hands of a tiny oligarchic elite is completely incompatible with democracy. This concentration of power is fueling a ruthless assault on the social rights of the working class, leading to mass layoffs, the destruction of thousands of jobs overnight, and a coordinated assault on all social programs. Second, democratic rights are being dismantled to subordinate American society entirely to the needs of imperialist aggression. Facing internal crisis and long-term economic decline, the ruling class seeks to offset its domestic contradictions through military expansion on a global scale. Trump's declarations of intent to annex territories such as Canada, Panama, and Greenland echo the fascist ambitions of Hitler's Germany, which likewise combined domestic dictatorship with imperialist conquest. The ruling class must intervene immediately to stop Trump's drive toward dictatorship. It would be the gravest political error to subordinate this struggle to the Democratic Party. In the 2 months since Trump's inauguration, the Democratic Party has made clear that it will not oppose his authoritarian measures. Immediately after Trump's election victory, President Biden invited Trump to the White House and publicly expressed hope for the new administration's success. Leading Democrats, including Bernie Sanders, quickly pledged their willingness to work with Trump. References to fascism, which briefly surfaced during the election campaign, vanished entirely. Last week, just hours before Trump invoked the Alien Enemies Act, Senate Democrats provided decisive votes to ensure passage of a Republican spending bill that fully funded the Trump administration through September, directly facilitating the illegal and unconstitutional activities of the White House and its Department of Government Efficiency, led by billionaire Elon Musk. As the World Socialist website warned, this legislation amounted to an enabling act, modeled directly on the 1933 law that legalized Hitler's dictatorship in Germany. The Democratic Party gave Trump a blank check, fully aware of the consequences, because whatever its tactical differences, the Democrats represent the same financial oligarchy whose interests Trump openly advances. The fight must be taken into the working class. It is the working class that is the constituency for the defense of democratic rights. But these rights can be secured only through mass struggle. Protests and demonstrations against Trump's drive toward dictatorship have already begun, but these must be expanded and coordinated. The Socialist Equality Party calls on workers and youth to build rank-and-file committees in factories, workplaces, campuses, and neighborhoods to mobilize mass resistance, including strikes and demonstrations. The SEP fights to infuse this emerging movement with a socialist program and perspective. The struggle against dictatorship is inseparable from the struggle against the financial oligarchy and capitalism itself. The wealth of this oligarchy must be expropriated, and society reorganized on the basis of social need and equality, in the U.S. and internationally. We call on all those who agree with this perspective to take up this fight and join the Socialist Equality Party. Israel massacres another 60 Palestinians in Gaza, renews ground offensive, by Andre Damon. One day after Israel massacred over 400 people in a series of airstrikes in Gaza, the Israeli military continued its bombing campaign and launched a ground offensive into the territory. 60 people were killed on Tuesday, according to Al Jazeera, bringing the total number of people killed in the two-day period close to 500. The massacres and ground operations are in clear defiance of a ceasefire that Israel nominally agreed to 2 months ago. The launch of a major new military offensive in Gaza has been accompanied by the largest U.S. attacks on Yemen to date and increasing threats by the Trump administration to wage war against Iran. The aim of the region-wide military escalation is the ethnic cleansing and annexation of Gaza as part of the creation of a U.S.-Israeli-dominated new Middle East. The 18-month-long Gaza genocide has officially killed 61,700 people, according to Gaza's media office, and has leveled the entire region. Israeli Defense Minister Israel Katz said that the airstrikes on Tuesday and Wednesday were, quote, only the first step, unquote, threatening the, quote, complete destruction of Gaza. He continued, quote, Israel will act with force you have never known before. He pledged, quote, Israel will act with an intensity that you have not seen. He told the residents of Gaza, quote, what comes next will be much harder and you will pay the full price, unquote. Large numbers of Palestinians had returned to their shattered homes and neighborhoods over the past 2 months and are now being displaced by force. The Israeli military issued evacuation orders to 150,000 people in the north and east of Gaza, raising the prospect of an imminent ground invasion of those regions. Farida Al-Ghul, a 28-year-old English teacher, told the Financial Times she was forced to flee with her family from the northern town of Jabalia. Quote, we could only bring some clothes and some canned food, but no water, because there isn't even a donkey cart to take us, and we might need to carry the children. We are not just numbers. We have families, and we have dreams, unquote. Responding to Tuesday's massacre, Catherine Russell, the UN Children's Fund, or UNICEF, chief, said in a statement that Tuesday was the deadliest single day for children in Gaza for the past 12 months. Quote, reports and images emerging from the Gaza Strip following today's attacks are beyond horrifying. Hundreds of people have reportedly been killed, including more than 130 children, representing the largest single-day child death toll in the last year, unquote. The United Nations said that one of its staffers was killed and five others were wounded in an attack Wednesday on one of its guest houses in Gaza City. Jorge Moreira da Silva, head of the UN Office for Project Services, said that, quote, Israel knew this was a UN premises, that people were living, staying, and working there, unquote. The massacre brought the number of UN personnel killed in Gaza since October 7, 2023, to 280. Bulgaria's foreign ministry confirmed that the UN staffer was Bulgarian. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres said in a statement that he, quote, strongly condemns all attacks on UN personnel, and calls for a full investigation, unquote. He added, quote, The locations of all UN premises are known to the parties to the conflict, who are bound by international law to protect them and maintain their absolute inviolability. Gaza's government media office condemned the targeting of the UN facility by Israel. It said, quote, "This crime is part of a deliberate policy targeting UN and humanitarian institutions to prevent them from fulfilling their duty to assist the Palestinian people." Alongside the bombardment, Israeli forces moved into Gaza to occupy the Netzarim corridor, which it has used to bisect Gaza into a north and south and prevent Palestinians from moving freely. In a statement, the Israeli military announced that its forces, quote, "have begun a focused ground operation in the center of the Gaza Strip and in the south with the aim of expanding the security area and creating a partial buffer between the north and south of the Strip," unquote. The massacres and ground operations take place against the backdrop of a total blockade by Israel of food, water, energy, and medical supplies into Gaza, which has now lasted for over 2 weeks. In a statement, the Palestinian Ministry of Health said that the health system is facing total collapse. Quote, "In the Gaza Strip, hospitals are operating at double capacity amid a continuous influx of wounded and injured patients. The health system is suffering from a severe shortage of medicines, medical supplies, and fuel needed to operate medical equipment and generators." It continued, quote, "The direct targeting of health facilities has put more than 80% of hospitals and medical centers out of service, while the few remaining facilities are suffering from severe overcrowding, a severe shortage of medical staff, and the impossibility of performing urgent surgeries due to the lack of anesthesia and basic supplies," unquote. Marwan Alhams, director of field hospitals at Gaza's health ministry, told Al Jazeera that due to Israel's blockade of medical supplies, quote, "anyone who sustains a serious injury in the Gaza Strip is doomed to die due to the lack of resources," unquote. He added that Israel's cutoff of electricity to Gaza's main water desalination plant poses, quote, "a particular danger to kidney patients," accusing Israel of carrying out an, quote, "act of revenge," unquote, by attempting to, quote, "halt medical services completely," unquote. A report by the Palestinian Central Bureau of Statistics showed that Gaza's water supply has fallen by 65%, leaving the average person with around just 1 gallon of water per day, around one-fourth of the World Health Organization's minimum humanitarian standard for emergencies. The attack on Gaza was accompanied by further Israeli military operations in the West Bank, where Israeli forces carried out arrests and forced over 80 families to flee the Ain Beit Alma refugee camp. In a statement, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu raised the prospect of expanding Israel's offensive against the West Bank, saying, quote, "While we are waging a fierce war against Hamas in the Gaza Strip, we are aware of the possibility of a larger and stronger front emerging here in the occupied West Bank," unquote. The Wall Street Journal hailed the renewed massacres in Gaza in an editorial on Wednesday titled, "No More Free Gaza Ceasefire for Hamas." It hailed the Trump administration's plans to target Iran, declaring, quote, "for the first time in the war, Iran is under U.S. pressure rather than protection," unquote. Also on Wednesday, the United States carried out attacks throughout Yemen, following attacks over the weekend that killed dozens of people. In a statement, U.S. President Donald Trump threatened to, quote unquote, "annihilate the Houthi movement in Yemen and menaced Iran." Trump wrote of Iran's Houthi rebels, quote, "watch how it will get progressively worse. It's not even a fair fight and never will be. They will be completely annihilated," unquote. He added, quote, "Iran must stop the sending of these supplies immediately," unquote. Separately, a U.S. National Security Council spokesperson told the Jerusalem Post that Trump had sent a letter to Iran's Supreme Leader, Ali Khamenei, giving Iran a 2-month deadline to shut down its nuclear program, adding that if this, quote, were not possible, there would be other ways to resolve the dispute, unquote, in a threat to directly attack Iran. Thank you. Major Reduction in Fed's U.S. Growth Forecast by Nick Beams. The U.S. Federal Reserve made a sharp downward revision in its forecast for U.S. economic growth this year at its meeting yesterday, amid what Chair Jerome Powell referred to as high uncertainty surrounding the effect of the economic policies of the Trump administration. Projections by Fed officials cut the growth forecast for this year to 1.7% from the 2.1% forecast last December, a significant reduction. They also forecast a rise in the Fed's measure of inflation from 2.5% to 2.7%, with the main reason being the tariff increases so far and the threat of more to come. Powell said it was not possible to separate out the causes of the elevation, but a good part of it was coming from tariffs, and, quote, there may be a delay in further progress, unquote, in bringing inflation down to the Fed's target of 2%. In his prepared remarks, he said the new administration was implementing significant changes in trade, immigration, fiscal policy, and regulation, which would matter for the economy and monetary policy. Quoting, uncertainty around the changes and their effects on the economic outlook is high, unquote. The Fed, as expected, decided to hold interest rates at their present level while projecting two cuts by the end of the year. It also decided to slow the pace of its balance sheet reduction from $25 billion a month to $5 billion because of, quote, some signs of tightness in money markets, unquote. The Fed wants to avoid the situation which developed in September 2019, when an earlier rundown of its Treasury bond holdings led to a major spike in interest rates in the ultra-short-term repo market that required its intervention. The meeting was held amid a major shift in economic prospects. The year began with expectation that American exceptionalism, a growth rate higher than other major economies, and an elevated stock market would continue. 3 months later, the economic landscape has dramatically shifted. Recession, which was then regarded as a negligible risk, is now a real prospect. Consumer spending is down, consumer confidence is falling, business planning and investment decisions have become more difficult because of tariff uncertainty and the effect of government spending cuts, and the stock market is down around 10% from its high of a month ago. And in a sign of longer-term concerns about the stability of the U.S. financial system and the position of the dollar, the price of gold continues to reach record highs. The sharp downturn in the U.S. economy and the impact of uncertainty over Trump's policies was highlighted by a survey of leading economists conducted by the Financial Times, published earlier this week. The median forecast for U.S. growth from the 49 economists surveyed was 1.6 this month, down from 2.3% in a survey conducted in December, and a market reduction from the growth rate of 2.8% for 2024. The extent of the transformation in the U.S. economic outlook was highlighted by economist Robert Barbera of Johns Hopkins University. He said, quote, tariffs, tax cuts, government employment and expenditure cuts, assaults on education funding and Fed independence are all in play. Nothing of this sort has been in play in my 50 years of forecasting. Karen Dinan, a professor at Harvard University, said while economists had struggled in the past to find evidence of how uncertainty affected the economy, it, quote, is so high now that it seems likely to reduce investment. How much will depend on how long it persists, unquote. After he went to the election, pledging his policies would produce a new golden age, Trump and members of his administration are now touting the benefits of a recession. In an interview with Fox News last Sunday, Trump refused to rule it out, saying there was a, quote, period of a transition. He was followed 2 days later by Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick, who told CBS News that Trump's policies were, quote-unquote, worth it, even if they led to a recession. The Trump agenda of economic war against the rest of the world and the working class at home is starting to impact on the global economy, with the OECD, the grouping of more than 30 major economies, warning it would slow global growth this year and next. OECD chief economist Alvaro Piera told the FT, quote, the message is clearly that trade uncertainty and economic policy uncertainty are having a significant toll, unquote. It cut the growth forecast for 12 of the G20 group with the largest falls in Canada and Mexico as a result of tariff hikes. The growth forecast for Canada for this year and next was more than halved to just 0.7%, while Mexico is now predicted to fall into recession this year and contract by 1.3%, and the tariff war has only just begun. Anxious to try to avoid any conflict with the Trump administration, Powell, while forced to refer to tariffs in his remarks, did not utter a word about the April 2nd deadline set by Trump for the unleashing of his so-called reciprocal tariff agenda. The basis of this plan is that the U.S. will impose retaliatory measures not just against tariffs on its goods, but in response to any policies of other countries which it deems to be inimical to the profit interests of U.S. corporations. This could include measures such as the value-added tax in Europe, regulations on the high-tech social media giants, as well as the pharmaceutical benefits scheme in Australia. Apart from the effect on the real economy, the OECD warned that a resurgence of inflation as a result of tariff increases, which by their very nature are inflationary, could trigger a rapid repricing in financial markets. At his press conference, Powell maintained, while it might take longer, the inflation rate was trending down, implying that the effect of Trump's tariffs was transitory. He was reminded by one questioner that the last time the Fed had put forward such a claim was during the pandemic price hikes. That was the start of an inflation cycle, the highest for 40 years, which continues to impact on the wages and living standards of millions. Powell tried to bat away the question by maintaining that the current circumstances were very different. Evidence of potential financial turbulence warned of by the OECD emerged this week in a closely watched survey conducted by the Bank of America, or B of A, of major investment firms. They made their biggest ever cut in allocations to U.S. equity markets. The drop was 40 percentage points, as the surveyed firms went from 17% overweight in U.S. equities in February to 23% underweight in March. The turnaround was the largest since the fall in March 2020, at the start of the pandemic. Elias Galou, senior investment strategist at B of A, said that at the beginning of the year, investors were all raging bulls on the U.S., but that this had now changed significantly. This has been Paul Fuller for the World Socialist Website.
The World Socialist Website is published by the International Committee of the Fourth International, the ICFI, the leadership of the World Socialist Movement, the Fourth International founded by Leon Trotsky in 1938. The World Socialist Website relies entirely on the donations of readers and listeners for financial support. To give to the WSWS or to set up a regular monthly contribution, go to wsws.org/donate. We urge our listeners to join the International Committee of the Fourth International and one of its affiliated political parties and take up the struggle for socialism.